providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in time for the second hour of KER Politics. Got my friend Dr. John Huber on the line right now. What really piqued my interest about something that John came out with this week is John's publicist, Ryan McCormick, sent me a missive earlier in the week saying that the trend right now politically seems to be going in favor of the liberals. I really didn't think that was the case. Those were some numbers that Ryan claimed that John had come up with. It was interesting, I read an article, not an article, but I read some poll results last night. Donald J. Trump's approval rating right now seems to be at 40%. But according to one poll, which went unnamed, but which was spread out in terms of the news media throughout the entire country, our president does trail Joe Biden right now by about 11 points. I don't see how that's possible. Johnny, you're on, sir. What do you have to say about this?
Well, I like to remind everybody, I'm a forensic psychologist. I want to see the numbers. I want to go back, and yeah, these polls are saying that, but go back and remember the polls we had going into 2016 when every poll showed that Trump was losing. But when you actually dissected the numbers, what we found out was the polling places were not doing a truly unbiased random sampling. They were in some cases 3-1 liberals versus conservatives, and that totally skews the data. So unless this becomes transparent, and they start showing who actually did the poll and how they actually went about it. Did they use a scientific methodology, you know, that blind double sampling or double blind sampling, random sampling technique that should be used in polls? There shouldn't be a bias. While we know about people who aren't paid or given a, you know, hey, we'll give you a $5, you know, Starbucks card if you fill out this poll, you know, the people who fill out the polls then are people who are either extremely happy or extremely disgruntled. So if we don't know the makeup of the poll sample, then we can't look at this with any kind of validity. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's being hidden. The other side of that is the way the questions are phrased, frame the question and can drive, you know, your question one way or the other. For example, you know, they can come up to you and say, you know, do you realize that there's so many starving puppies in your community, and opposing politician wants to feed the puppies, and are you for or against puppies dying of starvation? You know, and then they say, oh, you like this politician's policy, but in fact, that's not what they ask you. But the emotionality in it makes people answer the way they frame it. So there's only one way you can morally or ethically answer the question. So as a researcher and as somebody who goes into court and takes research and discusses it with juries and judges and attorneys, I have to know what's behind it before I can tell you this is a valid study or not. So I question the study when they're hiding who did it, where it was done, where the sampling procedures are, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we put it out. We don't always put out things that we agree with, because we have to address these as a nation. We can't just sit there and take this as fact because it was a poll.
You know, John, I got to tell you, someday, in the relatively near future, certainly after the election, the November elections, somebody's going to come out with a movie about all of this, you know, talking about Russian collusion, talking about the election, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought it was very interesting. I chatted with David Horowitz prior to talking with you today in the first hour of KER Politics. David, as we all know, has some very, very strong ideas as to how that election is going to turn out. I want to switch the subject, if you don't mind, though, John, and that is right now, with the pandemic that's going on right now, and I was watching the news last night, CBS News, what I thought was interesting is I got up from watching a snippet of that news, actually about 10 or 15 minutes. I was incredibly depressed. I walked away from that newscast, and this is conventional media, CBS certainly, and I thought, you know, our country is absolutely screwed right now. They were talking about something I'm going to be talking about here in the next segment with Frieda Birnbaum, and that has to do with what's going on with the kids right now in this COVID situation. CBS News put that situation, described that situation last night, Thursday night, when I was watching it, as being absolutely hellacious, for lack of better terms. The COVID-19 situation right now is causing, in my mind, John, more than anything else, and I'd like to get your impression on this, an awful lot of depression among Americans. Any comment? I mean, you're in private practice, etc. What are you seeing, bud?
I'm seeing an increase of patients coming in to see me, patients who never would come in to see somebody, but all of a sudden, you know, their business of 30 years is going away, and there's nothing they can do about it, and it's no fault of their own. And what we're looking at now is a case where the cure is worse than the disease, and I truly believe that. In fact, I was just on national television this morning saying that exact same thing.
Yep.
And, you know, whether we talk about the suicide rates that's going through the roof.
Is it?
Yes, it is going through the roof. And it's not any other reason than the shelter in place and the isolation. I mean, if you're depressed and you're being told not only can you not go out, but you better not go out or you might get assaulted by the police or the government might fine you. Why go on living when life is this way for a lot of people? And that's, you know, I'm not serious about that, but that's the way a lot of people think when they get to that point. And they want the pain to stop. They don't necessarily want to die. And the only alternative they see is this is a never-ending thing. So they either have to take matters into their own hands. And look at the generations behind us. You know, I'm talking about the millennials. We know that the millennials, the research out the last 2 or 3 years, 1 in 5 had already attempted suicide. That's 20% of the population.
Come on, Doc.
Yes, sir.
20%
attempted suicide.
Wow.
Not necessarily we're completing it, but once you attempt it, once you get that to that point, that makes it a viable answer in the future. So that increases the likelihood that that's going to happen. So it's a scary thing, and that's the highest rate since we've ever recorded. The next highest rate actually was baby boomers, and it was at like 14.5-15% at one point. But thankfully, they came over and got over that. We don't know what's going to happen with these millennials because we're sequestered. We're all sheltering in place. We don't know what's going on. How many people that live alone are we going to find out, you know, after they lift everything up? And, well, I haven't heard from Uncle Bill. Let's go knock on his house. And, you know, and now we find that he's gone too. We don't know. And again, I think the cure is worse than the illness at this point. With that alone, we know that there's a 20-30% increase across the board for suicide hotlines. We also know that alcohol sales are up over 400% across the country over last year, the same time. What are people doing? They're drinking their misery away. And all of a sudden, when your inhibitions are lifted from alcohol and you're depressed and you want to take action, what happens, man? That's the increased risk for violence and self-harm. Right there's the chemical ingredient. You know, we talk about the triad, fire starting, animal abuse and bedwetting for people to become arsons and psychopaths. Well, here's the combination now. We have isolation, we have depression, and then we add the fuel, that alcohol, in there. And that's the triad for suicidality.
John, I know we don't have enough time in this particular segment to talk about this, but if you have time later on today, I'd really like to turn this into a weekend special. Not certainly not what we're talking about right now. This will go on the air. But suicide right now is becoming an incredibly, incredibly prevalent, major prevalent problem right now. And what I would like to talk about in terms of the weekend special, purely and simply, is, John, exactly what do you tell your people? Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear what John has to say, simply go to our website. Going to be right back.